Beatrice felt as if her head were on a spring it swiveled about so often during the dancing. She wanted to freeze stock still in the middle of the ballroom, turn around, and angrily demand that Edmund Ellsworth Ritchie stop staring at her. But the trouble was, every time she was convinced he was watching her, the aggravating beast wasn't there. Had he become invisible all of a sudden? Was he watching her by some arcane, remote means like a medium? And if he wasn't watching her, why not? Absurdly, his lack of scrutiny now annoyed her even more than being watched had. With a supreme effort, she maintained a courteous interest in her partners, of which, surprisingly, there were quite a few. Obviously, her notoriety as the siren was attracting most of the men, but it was still a pleasant relief not to be a wallflower, as a 24-year-old spinster with no money and a besmirched reputation should expect to be. She danced with Charlie, of course, who lectured her throughout and stumbled once or twice too. Brandy on his breath told a clear story, but Beatrice made a point of being especially patient and agreeable. It wasn't all her fault that her brother's life was difficult. But she certainly hadn't helped matters by being so gullible in her dealings with Eustace Lloyd, and by leaving it so long to entertain a new suitor at all. She shared a waltz with Monsieur Champfleur, tall and bluff and jolly, as well as a cotillion with Lord Southern himself, and several other whirls around the floor with the charming Mr. Enderby, and one or two other husbands of the ladies in her sewing circle. Ah, yes, the ladies' sewing circle. Beatrice smiled wryly. Not much of a stitcher. She would never have joined such a group in the normal course of events. But when a card had arrived out of the blue, inviting her, she'd fallen upon it gladly. In the weeks since those accursed cabinet cards had begun circulating, along with a fruity exposé about them in Marriott's Monde, all other social avenues had dried up to a state of desiccation. Backs had turned on her at church, the Ladies' Charitable Guild had requested she not attend any more, and likewise a ladies' reading group she'd not long joined but had been enjoying immensely. In the face of this universal discouragement, it was worth a few pricked thumbs and a nasty, hole-ridden mat or two for the chance of feminine conversation with someone other than Polly or Enid or Cook. And the talk over the crochet, cross-stitch, and teacups had turned out to be unexpectedly racy. Until Richie's disclosure, Beatrice had believed the circle to be the primary source of tonight's invitation. Both Sophia Champfleur and her friend Lady Arabella Southern had been especially amenable at the weekly meetings. Now, however, Beatrice had been disabused of that notion. Either one or the other of those two ladies had acted as a pander and had expedited her appearance here to serve her up to the infuriating Ritchie, a man who apparently had the power to haunt her when he was nowhere to be seen.